This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We're with Dr. Brent Blue. He's an AME, senior AME, and he's a big supporter of the FAA's decision to allow, in some cases, the use of antidepressants by some pilots. Now, Brent, if we could begin with a doctor's description of depression and maybe a little bit about why it's bad for pilots to have it.
Well, first, I think it's important to understand that there are two types of depression. One is called endogenous, ENDO, and exogenous, EXO. And exogenous depression is the kind of depression where someone goes through a divorce or has someone in their family die or some external reason for being depressed. And usually that depression will last a variable period of time from a few weeks to a few months. And actually that type of depression is not very amenable to medications. Endogenous depression means depression from within. And that's actually a medical disease with psychological symptoms. And what I mean by that is that everything could be going perfect in someone's life and they'd still be depressed. And this type of depression tends to run in families. It tends to get a lot of self-treatment with alcohol or other illicit drugs. And it usually is something that can be treated very well with the new medications that have been out for about 20 years now. The problem with depression for pilots really is that depression makes people think slower. It makes them not make decisions well or just not be able to make decisions. It can make them not have fun doing things they normally have fun doing. I think if there was any one thing that I would say is a problem, it could be distracting. And you don't want pilots to be distracted in the cockpit. And so I've always said, and have said for a long time, I'd rather be flying with a pilot who's depressed on medication than a pilot who's depressed who's not on medication. So we have really appreciated the fact that the FAA, under Federal Air Surgeon Fred Tilton, has come around and come out with this policy, because this is really truly light years ahead of other government agencies. I mean, they really have come around, and I'm very happy to see this announcement.
There are a lot of untreated depressed pilots out there, right?
That's correct. And of course, I would say there's a lot of untreated depressed people out there, and I think that there are probably a fair number of pilots out there who are being treated that have not revealed that on their FAA medical forms. The basis of the treatment is related to something called serotonin. And serotonin is a chemical in the brain that is closely tied into mood. And people normally have serotonin levels that go up and down. You know, they have periods of elation and periods of depression, and these things may last for a few hours or a few days here and there. And that's normal. In fact, people who are flatline tend to be schizophrenic. But the problem with endogenous depression is the serotonin level goes up and down, and then it may go down, and it may stay down a week or a month or a year, and then go back to normal. And what the medications do is they prevent the resorption of serotonin in the brain, which brings the level back up to normal. And that it does not bring it to above normal, because there is a feedback loop to the production center of serotonin that keeps people from getting elated on the medications. It also means that when people do start this medication, that they don't get any immediate response. It may take anywhere from 3 days to 2 weeks for them to actually feel better on the medication. The other flip side of that is, because there's no immediate effect, the medication is not addicting in any way. So since the what are called selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors were introduced, the first famous one was Prozac about 20 years ago, the big advantage was they had essentially no to very few side effects compared to the medications that were out before that, which were called tricyclic antidepressants. And those medications had lots of side effects, which you didn't want pilots taking and flying on those medications, because they could blur visions, they were sedating, and they had a bunch of other side effects that just weren't amenable to piloting an aircraft. But these new SSRIs, really almost side effect free for the most part, and certainly under the FAA has come out with this rule, a person has to be stable for a year on medication, and if somebody has been stable for a year on this medication, they are not going to have untold side effects that appear suddenly after that long a period of time.
Okay, so what's the bottom line for pilots who suspect they may have this disease and want to get better?
Well, the first thing is to see their primary care physician. And the far majority of pilots, in fact, the far majority of people in general, are treated by primary care physicians with this kind of medication. And I should point out that the FAA has a sort of an interesting twist to their policy. They want a letter from a psychiatrist, from a treating psychiatrist, in order to be considered for the special issuance with this medication. And I'm not sure how that's going to play out, given that probably 90% of all antidepressants are actually prescribed by primary care physicians. So it may mean that a pilot has to go to a psychiatrist to get a secondary consult in order to get the release from the FAA. Probably the most important part to understand about this medication is, like I said previously, it does not make people elated. It doesn't make the world rosy. What it does is it levels the playing field for a person, so that if something good happens, they will essentially interact with it as it being something good, and if something bad happens, they will too. The difference is they won't have these wide swings because of depression, and that's why this medication can really improve somebody's life. So if somebody's having sleep disturbances, they're having libido issues, they're having problems making decisions, they feel like they're in a fog all the time, those are the kinds of symptoms that can be indicators of depression. And that's the kind of thing a pilot should discuss with their personal physician to see if possibly medication might be appropriate for them.
If you're already on medication and you're hiding it from the FAA, there's an amnesty, right?
There is a six-month period that the FAA has essentially stated they will not initiate legal enforcement against their pilots if they report history of antidepressant use. Now, there's a certain amount of rub in there, in that if the pilot is on one of the four medications, and there are only four medications that have been approved, they are Prozac, Zoloft, Celexa, and Lexapro. If they're on one of those medications and have been on it for a year and been stable for a year, they're going to be grounded when they report that they're on them, and it will take a period of 4 to 12 weeks at current rates for them to be approved with the proper documentation submitted. However, if they are on one of the unapproved medications, then, say, Paxil, then they're going to end up having to switch over to one of these four medications, and they will have to be treated on the new medication for 12 months before the FAA will consider giving them a medical. So that is sort of a rub in the policy.
Okay, well, it sounds darn inconvenient for a lot of pilots, but is it worthwhile in the long run?
I think it is so much better than what is currently going on, and that's pilots going around being untreated or not revealing their disease to their AMEs. And to give you a sort of a example, I think it's been almost 13 years now, the FAA finally approved insulin-dependent diabetes as being a special issuance for flying aircraft. And they had some pretty onerous rules for a pilot with diabetes flying. Not only the paperwork that you can imagine that had to be submitted and all the testing and so on, but there were specific rules about testing your blood sugar every hour while in the cockpit and all sorts of things like that. And now that the FAA has had a certain period of time of experience doing this, I think that those rules have been relaxed to some extent. And I think that will happen with this antidepressant policy as well. What I mean by that is the FAA likes history. They like to know what has happened. And in spite of the fact that there have been recommendations from various organizations, from the AOPA to the Aerospace Medical Association to ICAO, I mean, just numerous groups have come out in favor of this policy. It's taken the FAA basically about 9 years to really come out and have the policy in place. And my bet is that after two or three or four more years of actually having pilots certificated under this policy, they will feel more comfortable about opening it up to other antidepressant medications. And I think that that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing for pilots, and I think that's a good thing for the air safety.
Well, as always, pleasure to talk with you, Brent. Appreciate your input on this. And by the way, folks, Brent's written a blog about this that'll appear on in AvWeb on Monday. So have a look at that as well. Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.